Our reading for today is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 15th chapter, verses 16 to 32. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail the King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Eli Lietzau, Faith in Christ Lutheran Church, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from the one who saved others, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning comes from Mark chapter 15. So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked Jesus to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself." Thus far the text. It was true what they said. He had saved others. Lepers were cleansed, the possessed were freed, blind received their sight, the lame walked, the deaf heard, and the dead were raised. And all of this Jesus did. It was no secret that these people were saved. They walked about the towns, and they spoke in the market square. They returned to their lives, their families, and to the temple. There was no denying this fact. The scribes and the chief priests were right in what they said to each other. And from the looks of it, they were right about the second part as well. This man, who had saved others, was even too battered and beaten to carry his own cross to Golgotha. Now nailed to a tree, his lifeblood flowing out from him, everything screamed to the fact that Jesus could not save himself. And in a way, they were right. Led away by his captors, mocked and spit upon by blasphemous sinners, a crown of thorns smashed deep into his skull, and now nailed to a cross of shame. If any man had the power to free himself, most certainly he would. But there Jesus hangs for all the world to see, feeble, weak, and dying. Surely he could not save himself. The time for freeing himself from all this agony, torture, and punishment had come and gone. The chance for escape was in the garden. There was when he could have run away and hid himself from this inevitable death. There was the time when he could have said, "Forget it. I'm not dying for these sinful creatures." There was the time in which he could have laid it all aside. But that time was gone. The garden was his out. But this garden of which we speak was not the one that lay on the other side of Jerusalem. This garden was not the one where he wept with tears of agony and spilled bloody sweat to the ground. This garden was not the one where he was betrayed into the hands of his enemies and taken away in chains. This garden is where sin first entered the world. This garden is where Satan first threw creation into a horrendous spiral of death. This garden is where the pinnacle of creation turned their back on their God and were met with the holy consequences of divine judgment. This is where this man who had saved others could have saved himself. He could have turned his back on his creation, on the entire human race, and given us up to our sin and the eternal death that followed. But he didn't. Instead, he proclaimed to the devilish serpent that his head would be crushed when God himself took on our human flesh and climbed up on the cross to die for our sins. The scribes and chief priests were right in what they said. Jesus could not save himself. For in so doing, he would be breaking his promise and covenant to save others, to save even those who hurled insults at him, to save you. His life had been spent saving a number of people from their physical pains and temporal sufferings, but his death was where he would save the world from all sin and eternal damnation. Jesus would not come down from that cross. He would not save himself. Instead, he would stay nailed upon that tree until his dying breath so that he could save others. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.
We thank Pastor Eli Litza from Faith in Christ Lutheran Church, Albuquerque, New Mexico, for today's meditation on God's Word.